very busy. Many important matters require a king's attention.
I'm king now. King now.
I am king.
I am
king.
I am
kiss it.
I am
kiss it again.
I am
turn.
Your fingers or your
king doesn't
fingers
discuss
your
battle plans.
I am
one, but
your fingers or your tongue.
I am
the king. I'm telling mother.
Oh. Welcome to the Joffrey of Podcast. My name's Bubba. You can find me on Twitter at fittentrim, F-I-T-T-E-N-T-R-I-M, at fittentrim on Twitter. And with me, as always, flying higher than a dragon, it's Catfish. Catfish, how you doing?
Ah! That's my impression of a dragon, but like a dragon ling.
Oh, cool.
You can hit me up at CJGman67.
Whoa.
Always happy to have people tweet at me. Had a lot of tweeting action recently, and I'm very happy to engage with our double L's.
Double L's?
Yeah, I think those are loyal listeners.
Oh, interesting. Catfish, we're here because there are only five weeks until Game of Thrones Season 7 premieres on July 16th on HBO. Whoa.
It seemed like just last week it was 6 weeks. Time's going really fast.
We better check that to confirm.
Okay.
I don't want any incorrect information here on the podcast.
No. If there's any incorrect information, believe me, I will be the one saying it.
Now, double L's.
Double L's.
Loyal listeners,
right.
We've been telling you in our countdown to Season 7 about our wonderful new way to give you some great prizes. All you have to do to be eligible to win a prize, we're going to give away a prize every single week. There's 7 episodes in Season 7, so we're giving away at least 7 prizes, one each week,
well,
to our loyal listeners.
My ears pricked up when you said at least. I'm fascinated.
Right. We have so many great prizes. There's a chance for the final episode of Season 7, we may have to give away like a few more, 5, 6 prizes. We have so many things.
That's what I call the Sept of Baylor blowout sale.
Listeners, we got these prizes and we want to get them to you. It's a simple way to be eligible to win. You either need to retweet a Joffrey of Podcast tweet with the hashtag Joffrey of Podcast. That's when Catfish and I, when we put out our tweets that say, hey, there's a new Joffrey of Podcast episode. You retweet that, you're eligible to win. We also do Facebook posts on our Facebook page, facebook.com/doublepodcasts. That's the word double, the single letter, the letter P, the word podcast plural, facebook.com/doublepodcast. And you share that Facebook post about our new Joffrey of Podcast post, and you're eligible to win. Yet there's one even easier way than that, Catfish.
All you got to do is go to our page, Double P Podcast on Facebook, and like the page. That's it. All you have to do is click the button that says like. And when you do it, think of Joffrey. Think of how much you like Joffrey. Think of how much you love Joffrey. How much you'd want to follow a Joffrey-like figure. And if you do that, you'll get notifications about all the wonderful podcasts across our network. I won't go into them, but we've got quite a few.
We do.
And you'll find out all about them if you like the page.
Again?
You'll be entered into the contest to win some of those Sept of Baylor blowout prizes.
Those prizes include mugs, posters, lanyards we got at the Game of Thrones live concert experience. We also have DVDs. We have T-shirts. We have artwork. God, we have so much stuff. We got to blow out the Sept of Baylor real good.
Some of those things might even be personally autographed by someone associated with the show. That's all I'm going to say for the rest of the episode.
Great. Yeah, oh, that's a good point. I have an autographed copy of Game of Thrones by George R. R. Martin. That's another prize. Jeez, so many. I forget about it.
I was talking about some of the things we got from the Game of Thrones concert.
I know. Oh, my God. It's incredible.
Autographed.
It's incredible. This is great. Listeners, we're just asking you to help us promote the show. In some ways, we're too lazy, so if you retweet us and you share our Facebook pages, that's a great way because we want more people to join the non-unstraightener family.
That's right. We come to you free of commercial interruption. You won't be hearing anything about getting cheap tickets for concerts. You won't hear anything about fancy underwear. All you'll hear
What if I want to join audible.com?
Well, I can't hear you when you say that because you're not saying it.
What if I want food from a certain color apron.com?
You can't have it. Believe me, you think it's going to be nice. You get all that stuff, and then you look at it, and you're like, oh, crap. Even though I've got all the ingredients, it's still going to take me 40 minutes to make this damn dinner. Believe me.
But if they want to advertise, let's...
We'll take them. Great food selection. There is actually one of those things is a product that I personally enjoy and would love to heck a promote out of heck so we could get some free some because they are good. But I'm not going to say it.
Not until they cough up.
Boom. Give us the goods.
Now, on this week's The Jafria Podcast, Catfish, we are going to look at some of our friends in the podcasting world, the great folks at Radio Westeros.
Ooh.
Well, you have heard of clickbait.
I have. When you say something like, Joffrey's no good, and people click on it because they're so outraged that they're like, no, I protest.
True. Well, Radio Westeros, our good friends, they podbaited. They wanted to drum up some controversy, drum up some downloads, and so they did a King Joffrey-focused episode of their podcast. Now, of course...
Oh, I'm sorry. Did we do a Radio Westeros version of the Joffrey podcast? They're horning in our territory.
That's what I call evil horning. And so our good friends at Radio Westeros...
I call that double P.
Double P.
Inappropriate podcasting.
Inappropriate is silent.
Yeah.
Well, so we're going to look at their very skewed Joffrey-centric episode. We're going to non-unstraighten that.
But I feel like we've been doing this podcast for, it seems like, 12 years now.
Sure.
And I would have thought...
It seemed longer than that,
I would have thought that all the unstraighteners had been straightened by now.
Oh, boy.
So that just goes to show you that our work here at the Joffrey Podcast is never done.
Never done. But we're also going to do one of our classic segments that I like to call Double B.
Double B?
That's what I call a book bitching segment.
That is a classic. We did that on our very first podcast 72 years ago.
In a book bitchin' segment is where we look at the show and we see if it has spoiled the book and we start bitchin'. The books, which George R. R. Martin's A Song of Ice and Fire series isn't finished yet, so if the show is now spoiling the books, we might do some double B-ing.
I like how you said yet. So optimistic, like they were ever going to get finished.
And it's a character who has caused a lot of trouble ever since the very first episode.
Evil Uncle Tyrion?
Close.
He doesn't measure up.
No, it's not him, though, but it's somebody else.
I bet you it's that little punk who likes to jump out of windows and blames other people for his troubles, Bran.
Yeah, I like to call him the double P.
The double P?
The perverted peeper. He sees people doing it in his castle. He's like, I'm going to pervertedly peep on them.
You know, it's so funny because I had a different double P for that.
For Bran?
Yeah. Inappropriate peeper. Remember, the inna is always silent. Inna,
very silent. Oh, boy. So that's this week's, as we count down to season 7 of Game of Thrones, only 5 weeks away.
Woo! So close. So close, and yet so far.
I'm king now. King, 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 king now.
So, Catfish, we really do love Radio Westeros. They're a great, fun podcast, but we did have to non-unstraighten. They're unstraightening the record about His Grace King Joffrey.
Well, you know, if there's anyone who's going to do it, I think it should be us because we are the ones who basically follow the Book of Joffrey.
Amen.
That's what I call the BJ.
The BJ?
The Book of Joffrey. The of is silent.
Let me check adult content on this week's podcast. So, Catfish, we're going to just listen to a bit of it, and then we'll pause it. We're actually doing this live on the fly. We'll listen to a bit of their unstraightening the record, and then we will straighten them out. So here we go with our good friends, Radio Westeros.
Good friends for now, you mean.
What a villain Joffrey is.
Joffrey the Prince becomes an irritant for the Starks and readers alike.
Joffrey might not be the most popular character of all time, but given that we did such a close study of another non-point-of-view character in Rob last time, we think it's well worth analyzing George's villains as well as his heroes.
With Joffrey Baratheon.
His mother, Cersei, had been having an affair with her twin brother, Jaime, since their teenage years. Joffrey was born in the year 186 AC, prince and heir to King Robert Baratheon in official title, illegitimate bastard of Jaime and Cersei Lannister's incestuous union, in truth.
Liar!
All right, I'm going to pause it right there, because I'm in a full Joffrey level of anger.
Already? I've heard three things that are not only outrageous lies.
Outrageous.
But really, really outrageous lies. And the really is not silent this time.
Oh,
it's loud and angry.
Let me tell you something. First of all, there is something that if Joffrey were here with us, he would say, hashtag fake news, implying that Joffrey is a child of incest between his mother and Uncle Jaime. Where's the proof? Where's the birth certificate that shows that? I haven't seen it.
That is not even one of my top three things.
Oh, no.
But we all know that Joffrey was a miracle birth.
He was. Joffrey, if you study the text of A Song of Ice and Fire, he was what I like to call a double M.
Double M?
Midichlorian miracle, where the midichlorians created a miracle birth, a virgin birth, in Her Grace Queen Cersei. And that's the only way to explain it. And maybe, sure, Myrcella and Tommen, they might be products of incest. I mean, look at their anger and their hatred. The way Tommen hated the fact that his wife blew up. The way Myrcella hated that her father, Jaime, stole her from her betrothed.
I would clearly say that there's some problems with this family.
Yeah.
As you noted, Cersei and Jaime aren't the best or the brightest.
No.
Which just, again, like you said, goes to show that Joffrey was clearly a miracle birth. Now, let me clear up some other issues here. Okay, first of all, I don't know what kind of Wikipedia page they're looking at, but it's fake news that Joffrey was born in 186 CE, okay? They are trying to make him seem older than he is.
Yeah.
He was born 2 years after that, okay? That's people who don't know him.
Right.
You know, he tried to listen to a birth that was different. But if you really know and go behind the scenes, you know he was born 2 years after that. Second of all,
yeah,
irritant?
Irritant.
Irritant?
No.
No. No, not an irritant. It's someone who lifts all of humanity up with his hand solely, an irritant? No, that word is savior. Joffrey is a savior. The last thing I'm going to get to is unpopular.
Unpopular.
Okay? You know what? I don't want to say anything bad about our friends at Radio Westeros, but Joffrey is the absolute opposite of unpopular.
Right.
Do you know, before he even took over and when he took over and even after he went away to hide, to sort of pull the strings behind the scenes,
right.
Do you know how his name was on everyone's lips? They were like, Joffrey, Joffrey, a mix of fear and awe, mm-hmm. Okay? That's popularity.
Let me tell you something. If there's one person who has done what I like to call W. Yeah, unpopular usurping. It's Littlefinger and the Queen of Thorns who tried to poison Joffrey, who had built up that tolerance to every poison known to man.
Yeah. Listen, he not only did he want to fix things behind the scenes because he knew that there were so many machinations going on.
Yeah.
Okay. That's one of the things he did. But he also left because the burden of popularity was so strong on him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, listen, even a great Christ-like figure like Joffrey can only handle so many burdens.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was, as I said, his name went on everybody's lips, Joffrey, Joffrey will save us, Joffrey will save us, Joffrey will save us, our good King Joffrey. So he needed a little bit of break because he was so popular.
You know, sometimes when you're so popular, mm-hmm. you take a little break like King Joffrey did, you fake your death, but not everybody fakes their death like King Joffrey, but a lot of times if you get so popular, you want to get away from the limelight so people don't see you so much. Joffrey had to fake his death, but people in real life, they don't fake their death, but they get so popular, they're like, I've got to get away from the limelight for a little bit. Look at, I mean, when you think about people as popular as King Joffrey, look at Bill Cosby. He was very popular, and now he's like, I got to get away from the limelight.
No, not so popular.
Right, you'd never see him on TV.
No.
Think of, you know, for a while there, Mel Gibson was very popular, like King Joffrey. Suddenly, you know, he's like, I got to step away from a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And like King Joffrey, he had a problem with sugar. Can you think of other popular people like King Joffrey who had to step away from the limelight?
Wow, people had to step away from the limelight. Richard Nixon, he had to step away from the limelight.
He totally did.
Yeah. He was leading the country from behind, just like Joffrey, and he needed some time out.
And trust me, I can't wait for the day until our current leader of the free world, until he steps away. I can't wait till he steps away like Joffrey. I'm counting the days.
Or like Nixon.
Right, until he pulls a Joffrey Nixon-like move. I can't wait for that. I can't tell you how much I'm waiting for that day.
All right, well, I think we covered that. We not unstraightened them. Let's hear what new fresh outrage they have for us.
Well, this is largely left to our imaginations.
A half smile flickered across the queen's face, Robert's true-born son and heir. Though Joff would cry whenever Robert picked him up, his grace did not like that. His bastards always gurgled at him happily and sucked his finger when he put it in their little baseboard mouths.
Baby Joffrey seems to have disliked Robert, in contrast to the king's own bastards.
Liars!
Hold on. Even that, they're painting it in a negative light. His grace King Joffrey cried because he was like, King Robert, I don't need you to hold me. You need to go hold somebody else. So he was crying to tell his father, I don't need this. I'm a strong enough baby to where I don't need to be coddled. That's how strong Joffrey was.
Right. And let's get this straight, okay? Robert was a drunk, philandering, inattentive king. Even those people, fellow reprobate drunkards, friends of his, like Ned, admitted that he had no passion for ruling or making things better. And this is exact proof that even as a small baby, Joffrey was upset, incensed, disturbed by people who did not take their role seriously.
Right.
So once again, They've taken one of the great aspects of Joffrey and twisted it in an evil fashion.
Shameful way.
Yeah, they talked about leaving things to their imagination. They've shown Radio Westeros quite an imagination here to twist that.
Stannis's tale. Joffrey, I remember once, this kitchen cat. The cooks were wont to feed her scraps and fish heads. One told the boy she had kittens in her belly, thinking he might want one. Joffrey opened up the poor thing with a dagger to see if it were true. When he found the kittens, he brought them to show his father. Robert hit the boy so hard I thought he'd killed him.
Liar! Kill all of them, I command it!
Hold on. Let's stop this. So they're taking the word of evil Uncle Traitor Stannis on this story about Joffrey. This slander, fake news.
Stannis has always been a paragon of righteousness.
Please. Yeah, burning your daughter alive. Give me a break, Stannis.
Oh, yeah, he is one to talk. Now, I think there's a small kernel of truth in this, which Radio Westeros has ignored.
Right.
And that is, from a young age, Joffrey had a natural inquisitiveness about the world around him. He wanted to know how everything worked.
Amen.
For him to become the great ruler that he became, he had to know everything about the natural world, how everything worked. And so from that, the sort of natural inquisitiveness, Stannis made up this horrific tale.
Right. In Seven Hells, yes. But Catfish, you know what else I think about this?
What do you think, Bubba?
I think that, once again, Radio Westeros is painting this in a negative light. There is a true American hero I like to call Double B.
Double B?
Bob Barker. He hosted The Price is Right for decades. Mm-hmm. And what would he end every show with?
Make sure to spay or neuter your pets.
And Joffrey was following Double B, Bob Barker's advice. And yet somehow that's a negative thing? Let me tell you something. That cat was spayed.
That cat was spayed. But not only that.
The baby cats were spayed too.
The baby cats were spayed. And Joffrey learned something about the natural world. You know, they didn't talk about all the times that Joffrey, because of his self-medical training as a child, actually saved people on the streets. They don't bring that up.
No,
they don't bring how he was able to heal the ill on the streets. He brought commoners into his bedchambers who had been shot with arrows and attempted to heal them as well. They completely ignore that in Radio Westeros.
What about Joffrey's preventative medicine?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you remember that one singer who Joffrey was afraid might develop tongue cancer, so he had the tongue removed as a preventative measure? Joffrey's like the healthcare system we need now.
The people at Radio Westeros would say that was barbaric, but instead saved that person.
Right.
Saved.
That bard, that singer, he will never choke on his own tongue unless Joffrey orders Samarin to shove his removed tongue back down his throat.
And that would be, if Joffrey did that, I'm sure it would be miraculously repaired and the cancer gone.
Who knew Radio Westeros was pro-cancer?
They're pro-cancer. Oh, well, they're pro-cancer because they're clearly anti-medicine.
Amen.
They don't care. Seven hells, they don't want anyone to have any medical training whatsoever. They don't want people to question the world. No. They just want people to continue blindly going around in their ignorance, clearly.
One character that actually takes a shine to him is his betrothed, Sansa Stark.
Naughty girl.
Almost immediately in her first point of view chapter, we get this. Sansa did not really know Joffrey yet, but she was already in love with him. He was all she ever dreamt her prince should be, tall and handsome and strong, with hair like gold. He was 12, younger than Jon or Robb, but taller than either, to Jon's vast dismay. Prince Joffrey had his sister's hair and his mother's deep green eyes. A thick tangle of blonde curls dripped down past his golden choker and high velvet collar. Sansa looked radiant as she walked beside him.
Joffrey is attractive, the tall, handsome one, as she thinks.
She treasured every chance to spend time with him. Few as they were, Joffrey does know how to be charming and regal. When Sansa becomes upset in the company of Sandor and Sir Ilyn Payne, it's Joffrey who appears as she's on the verge of tears. "Leave her alone," Joffrey said. He stood over her, beautiful in blue wool and black leather, his golden curls shining in the sun like a crown. He gave her his hand, drew her to her feet. "What is it, sweet lady? Why are you afraid? No one will hurt you. Put away your swords, all of you. The wolf is her little pet, that's all." He looked at Sandor Clegane. "And you, dog, away with you. You're scaring my betrothed." And soon, Renly calls Sansa wolf girl in a light-hearted moment, but Joffrey once again jumps to her defense. It says, Joffrey stiffened beside her. "Have a care how you address my betrothed."
Joffrey appeared chivalrous and very brave. Her rescue was like the songs, with Joffrey raising Sansa's spirits.
Joffrey says courteous and polite.
Joffrey continues to embody manhood, steel,
pride, glory, idyllic, magical,
pride, metal,
proud prince, legendary heroics, his maturity.
Too beautiful to hate. His hair was as bright as the metal. Joffrey's handsome and gallant as any prince in the songs.
See? Sansa gets it. Everybody loves the Triple S.
Triple S?
Smart Sansa Stark.
Yeah, well, you know, and this is, you know, a lot of people say that at this point, her mind had already been clouded by all the alcohol use that Sansa had subjected herself to. But I say this is the one time that Sansa's actually clear-headed throughout the entire series of books. And so, again, because we see from Sansa's point of view, someone who is smart and who's intuitive. And so because of that, we get to see a true picture of Joffrey. And so I appreciate right here, Radio Westeros admitting their whole premise is wrong.
Well, pod baiting, like click baiting, is, you know, it's fun to do once in a while just to get a new wrong idea out there in the world. Mm-hmm. But you sometimes have to non-unstraighten the record, and that's what we're doing. And let me tell you guys.
Right, and as you see here, how difficult it is for them to fill up a podcast with bad things about Joffrey that even inadvertently they stumble onto the truth here, and they can't stop themselves from sharing it.
So, Double L's, we want you to go to Radio Westeros and download that episode and listen to the entire thing so you can see how our good friends at Radio Westeros really do love His Grace King Joffrey.
Well, it depends on your point of view. Personally, I was outraged by this.
Yeah.
But a lot of our listeners might be a little bit more even-keeled than me and just find this to be a hilarious. I mean, it could be a nonstop laugh fest.
Right.
Once you understand it for what it is, which is just presumably just a lark.
Yeah, I think.
And a pod baiting.
They'll find it very funny, which is a good thing because our podcast is never funny.
Well, there we go.
People keep telling us how unfunny our podcast is.
We promise them humor, and that humor we provide by pointing them to another podcast.
So thanks to our good friends at Radio Westeros.
Yes, long live Radio Westeros. May they never have to have any Double J.
Double J?
Joffrey Justice.
I'm telling Mother.
All right, Catfish, it is time to leave His Grace King Joffrey, and do another section we like to call Double B.
Double B?
A book bitchin' segment.
Oh, man. You actually said it right that time. You have a real problem with the Double B.
The Double B?
Yeah, the book bitchin'.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, so Catfish, today we're going to look at everybody's favorite lazy bastard who always makes people carry him around and wait on him hand and foot.
Oh, Ned Stark?
Close.
Oh, that's head and foot.
But I'm talking about one of Ned Stark's kids. I'm talking about little Bran Stark.
And what do you mean by little?
Well, Catfish, he
is... Just because he's sitting all the time?
Close enough. Who do you think is taller, Bran Stark sitting or a certain guy who doesn't measure up?
Oh, it's definitely Bran Stark sitting.
Okay.
Towers over Tyrion. And that's what I call double T.
Double T.
Tyrion towering.
Oh, no. Oh, my goodness gracious. So, Catfish, Bran Stark, where we left him in the books, is a bit where we left Bran Stark after season 4.
Being dragged all around the ground?
Yeah, we kind of leave him there all the time. But he and his friend Hodor and the Reeds and his wolf, Summer, have reached the cave of the three-eyed raven, the old person in the tree, and the children of the forest, those little elf-like creatures who are there. And so that's where we left him. Now, when the show left him there at the end of season 4, they actually had Jojen Reed die. Now, Jojen Reed was doing kind of tough health-wise in the books, but he was still alive when we last left him in book 5. Now, the show has showed Jojen Reed die, and the show has had Bran Stark having adventures, having these visions of things that happened in the past, then has his cave attacked by the evil White Walkers and the Night King and their army of Whites, the undead, and Bran and Mira had to run, and we lost the three-eyed crow, the three-eyed raven, we lost all the children of the forest there in the cave, and we lost Hodor. Has the show spoiled the books?
Well, I would have to say yes, unless you think that the writers came up with this amazing explanation for Hodor's name and personality that George R. R. Martin did. And if you think that that's true, then you have to think George R. R. Martin did the hugest face plant of all time. Like, oh my God, why didn't I think of that?
No. I do think Hodor is going to hold the door in the books and pass away. But we're going to get to him in a second. I want to come clean and just admit that when Bran and company reached the cave of the three-eyed crow there in the 5th book, and Bran was there left in the cave, they're starting to learn from the three-eyed raven and touch the weirwood roots and have these visions. He had started having little visions in the books, but I thought, okay, well, Bran's going to be here from the rest of the series. Yeah, he might what we call warg or skin change into other animals. And I thought, oh, he would warg into a dragon and control a dragon the way he controlled Summer. But now, based on the fact that George R. R. Martin has confirmed that this Hold the Door scene is going to happen, I think that has spoiled the books. And now I totally flip the script and think at a certain time, who knows where, who knows when, Bran is going to have to leave the cave. So I do feel the show has spoiled that part of the books for me.
Well, didn't you imagine, though, that at some point that our band of merry travelers would all come back together again? You certainly didn't think that Bran would stay in the cave forever, did you?
I thought he might have and just only have these kind of visions out or kind of warg out. And I thought there was a chance he would be trapped in this tree forever, mainly because the three-eyed raven, the three-eyed crow, the character who's there in the cave, who has these roots, weirwood roots, actually growing through him in the books, he never left the cave. And so why would Bran ever leave the cave? I thought Bran was going to start having these roots grow through him.
You thought they were going to leave Bran as an invalid in the...
Well, he's never going to walk again.
He can ride. Remember, evil Uncle Tyrion said, I can teach you how to ride.
Okay.
He's still double S.
Double S?
Yes, Surly Stark.
Well, he's also a double S.
Double S?
Seated Stark. So, Catfish.
I thought he was a double S unseated Stark, but the un is silent.
Oh, no. Oh, boy. Call back to last week's podcast there, listeners. Or maybe this week's. I'm getting confused.
I think it was this week.
So, Catfish.
That's why I'm calling it back.
Okay. So, Catfish.
Yes, Bubba.
As I mentioned, the show kind of had a double B.
Double B.
Bloodbath. When the Night King and the White Walkers and their army of the undead invaded the cave, we lost the three-eyed crow, the old wizard there. We lost all those children of the forest. And the ones that viewers and fans of A Song of Ice and Fire and Game of Thrones really had a hard time with Summer the Direwolf, and then we lost Hodor. And so one of the things I was trying to figure out is if this is from George R. R. Martin, and he says it is, where in the world is this door in the books that Hodor's going to hold? The caves, as they're presented in the books, really are caves. There aren't any doors.
They don't have a back door?
I always have a back door in my cave. Let me once again check the adult content here on the podcast. Catfish, caves don't have doors in the books, just as in the show. There was this kind of magical spell that wouldn't let the undead enter the cave, and I could see that breaking, but I really have a hard time seeing in the books there being a door in these caves. So I was trying to think, and I did this on our good friend's podcast Winterfell show one time. I was trying to think, well, what in the world, if the books don't have a door in their cave, what exactly door is Hodor going to hold? And so I thought to myself, something from the third book, A Storm of Swords, is there's this thing called the Black Gate. And so why don't you tell all the listeners what the Black Gate is?
All right. Well, it is a hidden subterranean gate that allows passage to the other side of the wall. It's old as the wall itself. It's sort of what you use to sneak out and go get some wildling ladies.
All right.
Yeah. It's set deep in a wall of the well at the center of the kitchens, made of white weirwood with a face on it. Oh, it's my face. The face is old, pale, shrunken, and wrinkled with wide eyes. So it is my face except for the wide eyes. And the door glows. Now, what else do you know about this gate?
Well, when someone approaches the Black Gate of the books, the face on the door, which is once again a white weirwood door, the eyes open and the door asks. So this is truly magical in the books. The door asks, who are you? If a man of the night's watch must repeat part of his vow, I'm a watcher on the walls, I'm the fire against, yada, 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 then the door will open, and the door actually says, then pass. The door opens by having its lips open wider and wider until nothing remains except a great gaping mouth, aka a doorway, which people can pass through. The show kind of sort of tried to do and then didn't try to do the Black Gate in season 3. At the end of season 3, you'll remember that Bran, Meera, Jojen, Hodor, and Summer the Direwolf are there at one of the abandoned castles on the wall, and they run into Samwell Tarly, Gilly, and Baby Sam coming through, and they said, how did you get through here? And they're like, oh, we know about this secret hole under the wall. So that does exist on the show, but on the show, it was just this open hole in the wall. It was ridiculous. How did the wildlings never find this? While in the books, the reason why, even if the wildlings had found this cave, which allowed them to get kind of underneath the wall, there was this magical door which would only open for members of the Night's Watch. So I was thinking to myself, maybe that would be the door that Hodor holds. Maybe he'll hold. Maybe they get all the way back to Winterfell and the zombies attack them there, and there's a door that Hodor holes. I'm just wondering about this.
Well, I have another theory.
Now, great.
You might say it's a little outlandish.
Ooh, I love
okay?
those.
But I think that this might be a door actually in King's Landing, that Bran gets to King's Landing and gets into Baelish's old place.
The okay? brothel?
Yeah, the brothel. The brothel. So the door that he's holding is called the whore door.
Oh, no. Poor Willis. It's one thing to have your mind messed with back when you were a teen and become Hodor for the rest of your life. But also, Willis was kind of young to be seeing the things happening in Littlefinger's brothel. Oh, that would really mess him up.
Absolutely. It's hold the Hodor.
Oh, my goodness gracious. I hope Roz is there to comfort young
Willis.
Because
you can shrink that. I mean, it's a hold the door, and it gets a Hodor. Hold the Hodor, hold the Hodor, hold the Hodor, 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 Hodor. Boom.
Man, Catfish, you did it so wonderfully there. It's like I'm looking at Hodor right now.
Thank you. Wait, let me spin up some records.
Okay, no, DJ Hodor, DJ Hodor, yeah. calm down. So, Bran, on the show, also ran into Uncle Benjen Stark. Now, Benjen Stark, in the books, he disappeared just like he did in the show. He disappeared real early in the first book, just like he did in the first season. He disappeared at the end of the third episode, never seen again until now. We see him brought back as a kind of good zombie, for lack of a better word. Do you think we'll see Uncle Benjen again on the show? And do you think we'll see him again in the books?
Definitely we'll see him again in the books. There's a lot more space for characters to keep returning in the books. I think we'll see him again in the show. potentially near the end. I'm not sure whether we'll see him this season.
It will be interesting. How will you know him? Like, if you see a bunch of undead, you know, how are you going to be able to say, no, that's the good one? We like him.
Well, he's a Stark to begin with. So actually, probably better dead than Stark, I think, has been always my theory.
Wait a minute. Now, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
This really makes me think of something.
What is that, Bubba?
Well, there's somebody who wants to build a wall to keep out the evildoers. And he also said, though, and some may be good people.
Right.
Like, so this is Westeros, built a wall to keep out the evil army people. And some of the undead might be good.
Right,
good
but not Benjen.
But not Benjen. Why not Uncle Benjen?
Benjen's the bad one.
Oh, bad boy Benjen.
I like to call Double goodness. B.
Double B?
Yeah, or Triple B.
Triple B.
Bad boy Benjen.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So, Bran, what do you think Bran's role is? That's one thing that even big A Song of Ice and Fire book fan are wondering about, because now the show has thrown us for a loop. We definitely somehow, I think, a group of us still think Bran's going to warg into a dragon, maybe somehow ride a dragon since Tyrion knows how to make saddles and stuff. But what do you think Bran's role is in the show or in the books now?
I think because he can see things in different places, that he can understand what some people's motives are. So I think that maybe he'll forestall some people fighting that will get together.
We would hope so. Is Bran, last week on our Book Bitchin' segment, we both kind of agreed that Her Grace Queen Cersei is not going to survive the series. Is Bran Stark a double S?
Double S.
Series survivor. Does he survive all the way to the end? Catfish, what's your call right now?
I think he does. I think he does. In fact, I'm trying to figure out, and maybe we can talk about this on a future podcast, who we think is going to survive the series.
Or
at least
S's.
The next season.
Yeah, series survivors. It's going to be interesting.
Triple S. Season 7 survivors.
Ooh, that sounds good. Listeners, go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/doublepodcast. That's the word double, the single letter P, the word podcasts. Plural, facebook.com/doublepodcast. We want to know who you think will be a triple S, a season 7 survivor.
Ooh.
I am the king.
Well, Catfish, it's that time. At the end of every podcast where you know what we have to do.
Well, we do indeed. Because we do this podcast, because of our deep and abiding love for Joffrey, the greatest character, real or fictional, in the history of the world. Every week, we try to honor our Lord King Joffrey by presenting someone either real or fictional themselves who embodied one of the facets of Joffrey. As we know, there's no human being that can embody all facets of Joffrey. For this week, Bubba, yeah. Do you want to go first?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, one of the things we know about Joffrey is that he is a brilliant tactician.
Oh, yeah.
And a great, amazing, multi-talented man who is surrounded by people who are inept, who aren't great, who obviously cannot match his stellar personality.
Oh, yeah.
And skills.
Yes.
But despite that, he shows, even though he's saddled by all these people who don't have the talent that he has, he shows that he's able to do amazing things despite the fact that these people are dragging him down. And he will never quit. He will never say die. So there is a real, actual human being who reminds me of this aspect of Joffrey this week.
I can't.
So my Joffrey of the week is
who?
For striving, even though he's saddled by a bunch of losers around him, LeBron James.
Oh, man. LeBron James.
Yeah, he's
King
great.
James.
Even though I am a fan of the Warriors, I cannot help but marvel at the talent of LeBron James. And so in that way, he reminds me of Joffrey Baratheon.
Oh, man.
Now, how about you, Bubba? Who is your Joffrey of the week?
Well, this is a slight tricky one.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to give you some clues and see if you can figure it out.
Okay.
His name rhymes with Com-2s. And he's opening a new movie that rhymes with The Bummy.
Okay. So is this Mom Lou's and The Dummy?
Rhymes with that, that's for sure. But it isn't Mom Lou's.
Oh, but you give me something different. Well, if it isn't Mom Lou's, I can't figure out who it is. And if the movie isn't called The Dummy, I have no idea.
Well, this person...
I don't have the wit and wisdom of Joffrey.
This person, he's a real-life person. Like Joffrey, he never seems to age.
Got it.
And like Joffrey, Joffrey occasionally gets called to task for being such a strong follower of a different religion, the Faith of the Seven.
Okay.
And this person, his religion sometimes, people would say it has as much reality as the Faith of the Seven. Catfish, no, it is Tom Cruise, who stars in The Mummy, opening this week.
I was so close.
Opening last week. Tom Cruise. So why is Tom Cruise like his grace King Joffrey?
Well, because he does incredible feats.
Oh, yeah.
All by himself.
Oh, yeah.
Despite no matter how old or young he actually is, he, like Joffrey, he does his own stunts.
Right. Now, like Joffrey, he goes through women. You know, Joffrey went through Sansa. He went through Margaery. Mm-hmm. Tom Cruise went through Nicole Kidman. He went through Katie Holmes. He went through Mimi Rogers. He went through other people, I'm sure. And so he's trying to match his grace King Joffrey.
Right.
Just with Joffrey's lady killing, Tom Cruise is killing too.
Well, just like him, I believe that, like Joffrey, I'm not sure that he was actually interested in romantic relationships. He was just trying to solidify the power of the throne.
That's true.
You know what? I'll say this.
Yeah.
I have heard of some people who have worked with Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
And they, to a person, say he is the hardest working,
yep,
nicest guy on the set.
Oh, without question. That's what everybody says.
So, like Joffrey, even though he carries the load, it's his name on the picture. He's the one who's got all the pressure on him.
Right.
He still manages to work harder than anybody else or as hard as anybody else. And he also manages to make everybody feel like a family. And that is tricky to do, to have the weight of the world upon you and yet be open and sharing with everybody. And that's something special. And that's what makes Tom Cruise a star, and that's what makes Joffrey a star.
Let me tell you something. I'm going to say some words. You tell me who I'm describing, Joffrey or Tom Cruise.
Okay.
Maverick.
Oh, Joffrey.
Got it right. Okay. Top Gun.
Joffrey.
You got it again. Rain
Man. That is Tom Cruise. Oh, wait, good. Hold on. I've got one for you. I've got a few for you.
Sure.
Legend.
Joffrey. Yeah,
absolutely.
I've got another one from you.
Okay.
Risky Business.
Well, that's got to be Joffrey's plan with the wildfire.
Oh, amen. It was. How did you know it?
Yeah, well, I'm telling you, it's eerie.
Okay.
You know, I always I've got a good Joffrey of the week, but you just always just one up me. Uh-huh.
I've got another one.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Who does this make you think of?
Mm-hmm.
A Few Good Men.
Oh, Joffrey.
Trick question, both. Tom Cruise and Joffrey. A Few Good Men, Catfish is plural.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. I think that would do
it. Hold on. Come on.
Oh, my God. How many more do we need?
Let's IMDb.
Oh, my God. I know. It's so good. It's so good. You're always so good. You always beat me.
You've got one for me, Catfish. Which one you got for me?
Oh, how about this? Days of Thunder.
Ooh, boy, that is tough. I've got to say, Days of Thunder makes me think about the weather. Winter is coming. It's got to be King Joffrey you're talking about.
Absolutely. How about this? Mission Impossible.
There's been only one person who could take out four kings in a war of five kings. That's Joffrey, right?
Exactly. How about this one? It's kind of a trick question. It's Night and Day, but with a K.
Ooh. Joffrey is like a knight,
mm-hmm,
and his brightness is like the day. So I'm saying both are Joffrey.
All right. All right. How about Eyes Wide Shut?
Gotta be how Joffrey faked his death, and he had those stones on his eyes so people would think he was dead, but his eyes were wide awake.
Okay, what is Sansa's nickname for Joffrey?
Tropic Thunder.
That's her second nickname.
What?
Her first nickname is The Firm.
Okay, very true. It's like it's him. It's like him. All right. So that's our... Wait, I got one for you.
Uh-huh.
Cocktail.
I'm going to say that that is about Evil Uncle Tyrion because he's always drunk.
You got it. Oh, so good. So double L's. Write to our Facebook page, facebook.com/doublepodcast, and tell us your Joffrey of the week.
Yes, and we've got 4 more episodes.
I can't wait.
Before we start the actual Game of Thrones, I'm very excited. We're very excited to ramp up to the new season by giving you oodles of content, enjoyable or not, so you can listen to us next time on the Joffrey of Podcasts.